Hi, this is Lana. Thanks for tuning in. If you want to see the video version of the show, you can find it at redice.tv or our members website, redicemembers.com. Or if you prefer, our YouTube channel. While you're there, don't forget to subscribe. If you're a man, turn this interview off right now. This is a show for women on the topic of harnessing femininity and channeling it into everyday life to have a better relationship with your man. I've done several shows on femininity lately. Not feminism, but trying to get to the feminine attributes that make a woman a woman. When a woman embraces her feminine side, a man automatically snaps into a masculine role. It brings peace and order to your relationship. When a woman can let go and let the man lead, it changes everything. Many discuss how women are behaving manly and men are behaving feminized. Getting married and having a family is a huge aspect to change that dynamic, but a woman can be married, have kids, but still be controlling, naggy, and pushy. These are not feminine traits. These are relationship killers. And other women go to work and take on masculine traits. Then they come home to their family and don't know how to switch it off, which creates other problems at home. This show provides some insight into practical, everyday things a woman can be conscious of to reignite true femininity, which will bring her ease and fulfillment. Just like men need their guy talk, women need that too. It's always been that way and it's perfectly healthy. My guest is well known in the mainstream, Laura Doyle. She's the author of The Surrendered Wife, The Surrendered Single, and The Empowered Wife. Her books have been translated into 16 languages. This is not a show talking about politics, although talking about relationship dynamics can be pretty political these days. A man told me he thought her work could be interpreted as a way to exploit men as a resource, being feminine only as a manipulative tool to get what she wants. There are some women who try that and some men fall for it, but manipulation is not the true essence or attribute of femininity. A feminine woman is vulnerable, honest, and inspirational. It's not an act, it's something inherent in her makeup. A feminine woman wants harmony and peace in her relationships, not battle. And it does take some work to refine it. It takes work for all of us to refine who we are. Laura Doyle, welcome to the program. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me. It's great to be here.
Well, you know, marriage today versus ancient times, I mean, it's quite different. Then comes feminism and women took on more of a masculine role to work and keep up with the boys. And I find that many women have become unfulfilled and unhappy because they've really forgotten their natural feminine state. And in fact, I think that they've forgotten what it is. And you, like many others, used to think that men and women are just the same, right? You unknowingly operated in your masculine side. You basically obscured your feminine self. So did you find it exhausting? And how did you come back to your feminine side?
I did find it exhausting. I felt like a round peg trying to fit into a square hole. And even though I imagined I was just a smaller, less hairy man that I knew how to be a man, it didn't turn out to be true. I did find it very tiring. And it wasn't until I discovered what my feminine gifts are and how to click into them, how to be in alignment with them, that things started to feel easy. I developed a sense of ease and I actually became much more accomplished than I had been when I'd been trying to operate from the masculine. So it was a big eye-opener for me. And one of my first reactions was, why didn't my mom and my grandmothers tell me about this?
Exactly.
Yeah. But I don't think they knew either. I think that was also mysterious for them. So it's now I'm just grateful that I know what they are and I know how to click into them.
Well, I agree with what you say when women really are the key to improving marriages. So let's discuss that a little bit. Why do you say that?
Yeah, women are the keepers of the relationship. And that's partly, there's a lot of reasons, but one is that we are the sexier sex. So we're the ones with the tail feathers and we're the more attractive gender. And this, I mean, you see demonstrations of this everywhere in the world, right? There'll be ladies' night at the club or the bar because the proprietor knows if he fills that room with women, the men will happily pay to come in. And not so if he did it the other way, right? You don't usually see gentlemen's night at the club. Yeah. So there's lots of evidence for the fact that we are the sexier sex and men therefore pursue us. We have this natural magnetism that is one of our feminine gifts, actually, for men. And they are wonderful, reliable, 24/7 noticing service of us. So unless we're obscuring our magnetism, which we can do by being controlling or disrespectful, or just kind of taking our attention and really keeping it to ourselves is another way. Like, you can walk down the street with kind of an openness, maybe smiling and being willing to make eye contact and things like that. Or you can walk down the street with kind of this no vacancy sign and your head down, and no one will notice you or connect with you because you've kind of got your magnetism turned off. But the rest of the time, it's always operating.
That's right. And you made a massive transformation in your marriage of nearly 30 years. You basically decided to one day stop telling him what to do and how to do it. And then what happened?
Yeah, well, that wasn't working for me at all. I mean, you know, it came out of my desperation because, I'd been super happy when we first got married. I thought he was so handsome and smart and talented and funny. A few years in, I thought I'd made a gigantic mistake and married the wrong man because he wasn't interested in spending any time with me. I mean, he was more interested in watching reruns on TV than he was in even making love to me. So I thought, well, something's definitely wrong with him. And I dragged him to a counselor so she could fix him so I could finally be happy. And instead, she pointed out that I was controlling. And that was news to me. It's like being a fish in the ocean. I was the last to notice that I was all wet. And but when I realized it, I said, oh, you're right. I am controlling. What do I do about this? And she said, well, just stop being so controlling. And that was no help for me at all. So in fact, that's the point where I felt the most hopeless about our relationship. And I really thought that divorce was going to be my best option, either that or spending the rest of my life in a loveless relationship. But instead, I started asking women who had had happy relationships for what seemed like an eternity, which was 15 years, for their secrets. And what they said didn't even make sense to me. But I decided to start experimenting with everything that they said. And that's when I got my miracle. That's when the man who wooed me came back. I remember I came through the door one night and his face lit up to see me. And that had been gone for a long time. So I thought, wow, this is working.
Yeah, exactly. That's one of your points. I think you have one of your skills that you try and teach women: relinquish control, right? It's based in fear. Stop obsessing about what he's thinking and what he's doing and feeling, and really just focus on your own actions. And you listed 10 ways where women, you know, tend to control their husbands. And I think it's kind of funny how making constant helpful suggestions or speaking on his behalf, making decisions for him, making demands and criticizing. That's another one that men, they're going to be turned off by that. And you also bring up the concept of emasculating men in our lives through doing this, right? You brought up there was an analogy in Breaking Bad, which I thought was funny, when she was getting on him because he spent $37 on the credit card. They don't use that credit card anymore, right?
Yeah, I'm not proud to say that I've tried every one of those 10 ways to control your husband, and none of them work, but they all did cause wall-to-wall hostility or else cold wars in my relationship. So I don't recommend them. And now that I have a world-famous system for how to relinquish inappropriate control, it's just amazing how much initiative my husband takes. Now how he seems so masculine to me and so much more attractive than he did when I was trying to tell him what to do and how to do everything. Like, you know, are you going to wear that to the party, or don't you think we should take the freeway? So it was a long journey, though, of trying on. Like, I remember at first thinking, well, maybe if I just ask questions, how could I possibly be controlling if I'm just asking him a question? It's so innocent. And of course, they weren't innocent at all. They were questions that only had one right answer, and to do things the way I wanted him
That's
to do.
That's funny.
Things.
Yeah. As a woman, I think that, you know, if you're in touch with your feminine side, yeah, exactly. You have to let go and just kind of let a guy be a guy and kind of just flow with it, flow with what he does. And if he makes a wrong decision, well, then he can deal with the fallout, as you say, right?
Yeah, I let my husband exercise his right to be wrong now as much as he wants, pretty much, because he's just a mere mortal man, and I'm not perfect either. And it's actually such a relief. I do see him as just so much more. He's so much more attractive now that I'm not telling him what to do. And of course, he does make mistakes sometimes, but actually, he's been much more successful. And this is something that we see a lot with husbands where the wife gets the six intimacy skills and starts using them. So my husband had jobs that he hated, and he didn't do all that well in them either, if I'm totally honest. And then when I first started using these skills and relinquishing control, one of the things I would say to him was, you've always been a good provider. And just for fun, I also started calling him Mr. Moneybag. And around that time, he started his own business. And it's been enormously successful. He's had it for, probably about 16 years now. And he does very well. In fact, he does all the video for me, too. So, and we use a lot of video in my business. So it's been remarkable to see all that he could accomplish once I stopped making his resume for him and telling him which jobs he should apply for.
Yeah, like exactly. Now, you always talk about the concept of the surrendered wife, which to some, you know, they think, oh, you're talking about, you know, being a doormat or not having desires of your own or just staying in the kitchen. So how about you clarify that? I don't think that, but I know what you
right.
mean.
Right. I think a lot of people hear surrendered wife and they think, oh, obedient wife or subservient wife. And it's not like that at all. Surrendering is just something we all have to do. If you're stuck in traffic, you might wish that the traffic would move, but you can't make it move. But you could use the time to talk on the phone or listen to music that you love or an audiobook. And that's surrendering. It's like being grateful that you have the opportunity as they come, things that you can't control anyway. So a surrendered wife just knows that she can't control anyone besides herself. So she doesn't try. She doesn't tell her husband what to eat for lunch or what to do at work or anything like that. Instead, she focuses on her own happiness. And that, in turn, really improves the intimacy.
Yeah, the best marriages, and you agree with this in your book, are the ones that know how to balance the masculine-feminine dynamic in a relationship. And I think modernity has kind of made this out of sync and a little confusing for some couples. You know, where does the woman fit? Where does the man fit? And your book, I think, is excellent because it reminds women of their feminine gifts, which a lot of women have forgotten about. And this does wonders for a marriage. I think that you've captured the essence of femininity in a healthy male-female relationship and actually how it manifests in everyday relationships with the masculine. Because when you say feminine, it's kind of an ethereal concept, but you've been able to kind of put that into words and say, oh, this is how it would manifest in a relationship. So let's get into what these feminine assets are and how we can benefit from them. I know you've talked about the big advantages to being a woman that have been downplayed over the last 50 years.
That's right. Well, we already touched on one of them, which is magnetism, our feminine magnetism. But another big one that I find that women are unfamiliar with is our ability to express desires in a way that inspires, like the power of feminine desire and just how formidable it is because I'll just give you some examples of them. Like if we can just say what we want, just a final outcome without any control or criticism or manipulation, it really taps into our husband's hero gene. It ignites his hero gene because all husbands just want to make their wives happy. And whenever they see the opportunity, they jump at it. So I'll give you an example. Early on in my relationship, I used to just complain because I didn't know about expressing my desires. And my husband would just hear the complaining and he wouldn't know what to do for me. So I would say, John, this kitchen is a disaster. And he would just hear, John, blah, 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 right? He couldn't really even hear me. And so when finally I figured out that I could just say, I would love to have a clean kitchen. And he heard that and he's like, okay, I'll clean it. And that was a long time ago. That was like over 16 years ago. And he's been doing the dishes ever since. I don't even do the dishes at my house anymore. So it's been pretty remarkable to see that. I also have kind of an embarrassing, sad story about not understanding how to express my desires from even before we were married. My husband took me on a romantic getaway to Hawaii. And I was so excited on the first day because I thought, oh, we are going to go to the beach. And I love going to the beach. It's going to be really fun. And instead of saying that I wanted to go to the beach, I asked him what he wanted to do that day. And he said, I think it'd be fun to go see a volcano. I was like, a volcano, huh? Okay. But we were newly boyfriend and girlfriend, and I didn't want to cause any conflict. So I didn't want to say what I wanted because it was different than what he said. And I just wanted to be close. So we got in the car and we were starting to go see a volcano, but you don't see a volcano for a long time. All you see are the rocks on the side of the road. And I remember I just started fuming and just kind of getting upset that we weren't at the beach, even though I hadn't said anything. And so he asked me what was wrong. And that's when I just let him have it. I was like, did you think this would be fun? Because I don't think this is fun. You didn't even ask me what I wanted to do, and I wanted to go to the beach, but you didn't even do that. And I think I was even more shrill than that, sadly. And I just feel so sad for that earlier version of me that had no idea how to say what she wanted. If you can't say what you want, of course, you're never going to get what you want. But even after I behaved so badly, you know what? He took me to the beach. He just wanted me to be happy.
Yeah. Or he probably just wanted to shut you up.
Yeah. It wasn't the kind of volcano he imagined, I don't think.
That's funny. Yeah, you mentioned magnetism, and then we had emotional brilliance, receptivity, pleasure, as you were discussing, desire, expressing your desire, and being vulnerable and tender. Why is that important for a woman in a relationship?
Yes. Well, we are the ones with the emotional brilliance. In fact, I'm glad you're sitting down for this. I'll tell you, there was a study done at the University of Toronto where they discovered that women are more emotional than men.
Yeah.
I know. It's like research money well spent, right? But so the emotional brilliance we have is the ability to know how we're feeling and to express it. And men rely on us for this. So our vulnerability in particular is completely necessary for creating the fascination that leads to lasting commitment. So when we show up vulnerable, that also triggers their hero gene. That's something where they see they can make a contribution to our lives. It's just like in the car song, they need someone to please. And so we are allowing them to please us when we show up vulnerably like that. So we have a whole series of, I call them cheat phrases, to drop into your vulnerability, like to use the language of vulnerability, I guess I would say. For instance, instead of, like, I used to get mad at my husband and just kind of stand there with my hands on my hips, like, how come you never spend any time with me anymore? And that was never very effective. But now I would just say, hey, how are you? I miss you. I miss you would be the vulnerable cheat phrase. Or sometimes when we're having a conversation, even though my marriage is great now, it's not like it was, but even so, sometimes he still hurts my feelings. It's just part of what happens when you live so close together. Just like when kids play together, right? They bruise each other. They don't mean to, but he'll hurt my feelings. And if I can just come back tenderly from that, instead of like maybe throwing something hurtful his way, which was kind of my old way, then I get a totally different response. So my cheap phrase for that is just the one word, ouch, just ouch and nothing else. It's really very much about me. I'm not saying he did anything wrong. I'm just really, I call it staying on my own side of the street. And a lot of times it's amazing. I'll get an apology. Whereas if I would have said, hey, you hurt my feelings, it could get into kind of a debate or an argument or at least a discussion. And that was just never as fulfilling as having him respond with so much tenderness in return.
Now, a lot of times, too, vulnerability is confused with weakness, isn't it?
It really is. And they're not the same at all. It actually takes tremendous courage to be vulnerable. So I think of that as the opposite of weakness. Weakness is when you are fearful and defensive. And that's exactly what my control was all about. I think a lot of people don't realize, as I didn't, that all control is based in fear. If you're not afraid, you don't have to try to control which way he drives or what he says to the plumber or anything else. And so it's always interesting whenever I'm tempted to control to just ask myself, like, what am I afraid of right in this moment? And is that fear realistic? I remember I had one woman who said, well, I can't relinquish control of his driving because it's really terrible. It's so dangerous the way he drives. And I said, oh, okay, well, that sounds pretty serious. And I said, how many accidents has he been in? And she said, well, he hasn't been in any accidents. And so it turned out that fear wasn't super realistic. And that's been true with me too. But it's just been great to know that, you know, control is here and intimacy is here. And if I want to have the intimacy, I got to let go of the control. And if I want to have the control, I can, but then the intimacy is going to go.
Control also seems more of a masculine trait. So we almost kind of embrace a masculine side of ourselves while doing it. So it can feel tiring and unnatural to us. Whereas it feels really good when you just actually let that go and just kind of let the man take care of it, right?
Yeah, it really does. And I think one of the things that I didn't know about that was kind of the reason I felt like I had to control, first of all, I didn't know how to express my desires. So you got to know something to get what you want. And so control, manipulation, that's one way if you don't know about your desires. But the other big problem I had is that I felt uncomfortable receiving so much of the time that I was really blocking my husband from giving me all the wonderful things he wanted to give me. So, for example, like he might say, "Oh, your hair looks beautiful," and I'd be like, "No, don't look at it. I haven't washed it." And so, I would not allow that those kind words to land. Or he would. I just remember this embarrassing story of when we moved to our first apartment. I carried this really heavy box of dishes up the stairs, and I was all proud of myself that I did it myself. And I mean, he would have been so happy to do that for me. And but it was just like this a feeling like I had to carry my own weight. I had to be independent. I was raised to be independent, and now I don't value that as much. I'd really much rather be interdependent and have the nice connection and passion and playfulness that comes with letting him add to my life, letting him contribute to my life.
That's right, receive. You write about that as an important skill, that receptivity is the essence of femininity. You say, the more you're willing to receive gifts, compliments, and help from your husband, the more feminine and attractive you'll be to him, and the more special treatment you'll get. And I find that a lot of women, they feel guilty about receiving for some reason. Where does that come from?
I mean, I do think it has a lot to do with my upbringing. This whole you don't need a man, and you've got to get your education and your career, and that was the priority. So, and I think that some of the things that we do at work, it's a little different. You do have to manage your staff and your projects at work, and of course, husbands and boyfriends don't like to be managed. So, if you don't change your hat when you leave one environment and go to the next, you're going to run into problems. It's a different skill set to be successful at work than it is to be successful at home. At work, I just want to improve the bottom line or get my projects done. And at home, I just want to hold hands and have them tell me I'm beautiful and make bedrooms at me. So those are totally different goals. So, of course, they are going to require different skills. One of my receiving idols or role models, I guess, is Kat Deely. She's the host of the show So You Think You Can Dance. And I just love, she comes out looking so beautiful, of course, every week. And one week she came out and the judges said to her, "Oh, Kat, you look so beautiful." And she just smiled and paused and said, "Thank you." She's just glowing. You could tell she was taking it in. And then the judges said, "And by the way, Kat, congratulations on your Emmy nomination." And she did it again. She just, "Thank you," and smiled and took it in. And you know, those judges had also been nominated for an Emmy. So she could have easily diverted the white hot spotlight from herself by saying, "Oh, and congratulations to you on your Emmy." But she didn't. She just took it. And I think that confidence and her beautiful receptivity is a big part of her, why she's so successful and so beautiful.
Also makes you appear more ladylike, for sure. More classy, more dignified when you can just smile and say thank you, right?
It's absolutely true, right? It's not very attractive if you get a compliment on your shoes and you say, "Oh, these old things," right?
Yeah,
Or,
or
"Oh,
I got them on
my,
sale,"
yeah,
right?
I got them on sale.
Jeez.
They're so cheap.
Yeah, not
Yeah, I'm
classy.
sure we learned that.
Well, you brought up an interesting thing, and this is a dilemma, I think, for a lot of women in modern day. There's a lot of women that have to work. So they go to work, 40 hours a week, they put on a suit, they're acting essentially quite masculine. And then they come home and they have to take that off and they have to behave feminine for maybe their children, their husband, the home. How do you make that transition? Because it's so difficult for so many women, and I think it's causing a lot of problems in marriages.
Yeah, I agree completely. In fact, before we met, my husband dated a woman who was a third grade teacher. And one of the reasons he broke up with her is because she used to say to him, "Go sit down, put that away." Like she's still talking to an 8-year-old, So he didn't find that very attractive. But I think one of the keys here is the first intimacy skill, which is really about making yourself ridiculously happy, which also restores that magnetism, by the way. So this is where I like to practice doing at least three frivolous things a day just for my own pleasure, just for my own delight and happiness. So one of mine, I love to play volleyball, so I play every chance I get. And it's not really about getting 8 hours of sleep or five fruits and vegetables or reducing greenhouse gas emissions or any of that. It's just like maybe lunch with a friend or a bubble bath or singing at the top of your lungs in the car or playing with your dog or playing the guitar. It's whatever brings you joy. And it's interesting, a lot of times when I ask women to make a list of things that bring them joy, they get really stuck, especially if they've been really focused on their work and the housework and their kids and maybe their husband. They've kind of lost sight of the things that just delight them. And since that's a big part of our feminine gift, right? We have the only organ on the human body that's designed strictly for our pleasure. That's its only purpose. And I mean, it has to do with sex, but I think it's a bigger metaphor. I think it means more than just physical pleasure. And so it means that feminine pleasure is pretty important. And so it's a great thing to pay attention to if you want to improve your relationship and, of course, your whole life.
That's right. We do need some beauty. We do need some pleasure in our life. I think the constant grind is one thing that can really make a woman unhappy and boring and cranky. The other thing that you bring up, which is good too, is a woman has to find some kind of pleasure outside of her husband so she's not fully dependent on him all the time, which can be kind of needy. And then if she doesn't get what she wants, she can get kind of moody or desperate. And then it starts this bad cycle. I think guys find a woman more sexy when she's happy and she's fulfilled and she's enjoying herself, right?
Absolutely. I was just talking to a woman this morning who has been practicing the intimacy skills for several years now. And the dynamic in her marriage was she felt very needy and couldn't understand why her husband didn't want to pay more attention to her. And so she's been using these skills for years now. And she's like, you know, he calls me from work all the time now and he wants to talk. And I feel like I'm kind of busy. And so she's like, just today, I realized like, oh, I better make some time for him too. He's important too. So that dynamic has completely shifted. And when you think about neediness, what it is it's an underlying complaint, right? There's a kind of a criticism there. Like, you don't give me enough. You're not spending enough time with me. And whether it's a friend or your spouse that's doing it, it's just never very attractive. But when you are doing your happy dance, I remember one woman was saying that. She just was filled up. She had done so much self-care that day. And so she went into her husband's office just briefly and just did her happy dance. And then she left. And he followed her right out of the office and then brought her into the bedroom and they made love. So it really makes it, we're never hotter than when we're laughing, smiling, singing, dancing, because we just have made ourselves feel good.
That's right. And I think ultimately, when you take care of yourself and take that time, carve that time out for yourself, it makes you a better wife and a better mother. You have to be able to fill up and fill yourself up with something if you're just giving all the time. You have to recharge in a way, right?
That's right. And I know for me, a lot of times when I was trying to fix my marriage, before I learned what I know now about the six intimacy skills, you would see advice, right? Self-care and love yourself or whatever. And I just never knew how to do it. I was like, should I hug myself? You know, that would that be self-love? I don't know. So for me, it was just really great to make it very practical and specific. And so I just still love to this day that I just check off like my three things that I did just for me every single day. And that's really helped me bring the focus to taking responsibility for my own happiness, because I really kind of got off track thinking that it was my husband's job to make me happy. It's embarrassing to say now. I'm like, where did I get that idea? But I did think that, and I thought that he wasn't making me happy, and that meant that I'd married the wrong guy. And so it's been quite the eye-opener and revelation to realize, like, oh, only happy people have happy relationships.
Yeah, it's true, of course.
Happy first.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, it sounds obvious when I say it that way. I was confused. What can I say, Lana?
Yeah, that's right. We all have to learn as we go, right? As you said, no one teaches us these things when we get married. No one teaches us about these dynamics, which are very important. So it's good that you're doing this. You also wrote a funny line about how women have become nagging and belittling and cranky towards their men. Where do you think this happened on a big scale? Because that's one of the biggest complaints guys have in their marriages is the nag, right? So where did that woman come from?
I mean, it's interesting. There was an article in the Wall Street Journal about how nagging and controlling cause more divorce than affairs do. It's like, oh, I don't need somebody outside the marriage to like try to seduce my husband or something. I was like wrecking it myself. Yeah. I was doing it all single-handedly. And as far as where it came from, I mean, I know for me, I was following kind of the, we only ever get the modeling that we see in our own homes for the most part. So if your parents had a terrific relationship, if you're in that, whatever it is, like 10% of the population, I would guess, that had that wonderful modeling, then more power to you. But in my case, my parents are divorced. I was following a failed recipe. And I did see my mom, unfortunately, you know, try to control my dad. I remember she one time invited people out to the house to talk to him about how he could change into a different career. Like she just decided he needed a better one and she was going to like take the action to make that happen. She was a stay-at-home mom. So I look back now and just kind of realize like no one taught my mother the intimacy skills either. So we just live in such a wonderful, opportune time to have the most intimate, connected, playful, passionate relationships. Because, you know, we have at least in a lot of parts of the world, in my country, certainly a sustained period of peace and prosperity. And so it's just a wonderful thing that we have the opportunity and now the way to disperse this information through books and the internet. So I'm just really grateful that the information is available. And it's so simple, you know, any woman can follow it. It's just sort of like learning a musical instrument, right? I mean, you would never sit down to the piano and say, wow, I really hope I'm good at this, you know, and just start playing. You would expect to have to study a little bit and become good at it. And it's just the same with learning to love and be loved in return. It just takes a little bit of training.
That's right. You know, one of the other questions we always hear too is women will say, and I know they say this too, I'm starting to feel like his mom or a maid or just a friend. What do you say to those women? And is it because they're not operating more on their feminine side, so they're kind of getting stuck in these mama and maid roles?
Yeah, and right, like even a stay-at-home mom or like that third grade teacher I was mentioning, it can be really tempting. And sometimes our feminine perspective, right, it's just so very different than the masculine perspective. I remember one time I was at the beach playing volleyball, a co-ed volleyball. And one of the guys had brought his son, and he was only 8. And he said to the son, hey, you want to race down to the water? And the kid was like, yeah. And he goes, okay, let's do it. And he goes, on your marks, get set, go. And when he said go, he shoved the little boy into the sand and then took off running. And the other woman and I were so horrified. We were like, oh my gosh, who would do that to a sweet little 8-year-old boy, right? But the little boy was laughing, the other man was laughing, and the father was laughing too. And they just all thought it was just the greatest game. It was just such a great illustration of how men and women are different, right? Only men can teach little boys how to be fathers. I mean, only fathers can teach little boys how to be men. And, you know, a woman really can't do that. So a lot of times I think that we are chiming in, kind of offering a feminine perspective. Like, we think it should be this way. Or, you know, I thought that was too harsh. And that's such a common complaint. And sometimes I get together with women and we feel like we've all married the same man because, you know, he's too harsh on the kids and he doesn't finish projects soon enough or whatever, right? So there's a lot of there's a lot of commonality. It's been kind of fun to get emails from women in Egypt to say, we thought only Egyptian men were like this, right? But no, it turns out, you know, they have the same things in Japan and Egypt and Sweden and the United States. And men see the world very differently. And thank goodness, because I'm the only person around here that runs around like being upset at my mother and, you know, crying at commercials and things like that. So, and I'm kind of glad that it's, you know, he's more of a steady Eddie and I appreciate that.
Steady Eddie. I like that. The other thing is being feminine is it's not just about housework or changing diapers. It's all these other facets that you've been talking about. Just because you clean the house, that doesn't make you a feminine woman, right?
Oh, not at all. In fact, that has nothing to do with it. In fact, I don't do very much housework at all. So that was the requirement for being feminine. I guess I wouldn't be very feminine. So for me, the essence of femininity is this receptivity. And so one of my desires early on in the process of learning the intimacy skills was to have house cleaners come in. And this seemed super impractical at the time because we weren't making that much money and we had a lot of debt and I just didn't think it was reasonable at all. But I expressed that desire, and I just felt like the richest woman in the world when we had someone come in and dust the bookshelves and change the sheets. And it was just amazing how much romance there was in that house too. So, and to this day, I still have housekeepers come in, and my husband does the dishes. And so I don't spend a lot of time doing housework. So that has nothing to do with it. I think that's kind of mixing up traditional gender chores with what femininity really is, which is about being willing to let your man contribute, to take care of you, to cherish you. I had a conversation with a woman recently who was saying, well, my marriage is a lot better now that I have the intimacy skills. We've really eliminated the fighting. But she said, I really want to take it over the top. I want him to buy me flowers for no reason or little presents. And as we talked about it some more, she mentioned that she had kind of trained him not to spend too much money on things like that. So on the one hand, she wanted him to cherish her. But on the other hand, she tied his hands and taught him not to spend money, almost like saying, you know, I'm not really worth it. So for me, what's been wonderful is the self-confidence and the inner strength I've gained from using those receiving muscles, even if I feel uncomfortable, just letting my husband or even a friend like buy me a cup of coffee or pay for lunch or something like that. It's just a wonderful gift to be able to receive the things that other people want to give me to delight me.
You wrote a line I'm going to read. It says, if your husband lets you call all the shots just to keep the peace, he won't seem very masculine to you. Quite the opposite. So that means that women, that's what they want, right? They actually want a very masculine man who calls the shots, right?
It's so much more attractive. I remember my husband calling me recently, and he was at a job. He works a lot with lawyers. His video company serves lawyers. And so he was on the way home, he was telling me, he goes, yeah, they were really disorganized. So he goes, I went up to the lead lawyer and I just said, let's get all these knuckleheads out of here. And he was referring to other lawyers. And then I'll do this shot and then we can do these other shots later. And the lawyer was like, okay. And he turns, he goes, hey, all you knuckleheads, get out of here. And we're going to do this other shot. Right. So he just totally copied what my husband said. And then I was like, wow, cool. You know, my husband's calling his lawyer clients knuckleheads, and they're enjoying it. And then he goes, so I'm going to come home and you're going to pour me a beer. And I was like, okay. I totally did pour him a beer. It's just kind of, it's just sexy. Right. It's like, all right, the guy that's running these shows. And so it was appealing. I think we all want that.
Yeah, I think a man totally changes when he's not emasculated. When you encourage his masculinity, you see him bloom and rise to the occasion in a different way. And you have to give them permission to let them be that and let that unfold, if you will.
That's so true, Lana. I remember we had this old joke where in the old days I would say, I'm not controlling, am I? And my husband would go, ma'am, no ma'am. You know, because I trained him just act like everything's fine here. But sadly, you know, he wouldn't have had that kind of confidence in the world, because the woman who knew him best was constantly sending this message of undermining, like, you sure you know what you're doing? You really have this under control? Are you going to be able to handle it? I don't think you are, was my message. And so I know that hurt his self-worth, which frankly hurt our net worth. We are a lot more prosperous. And this is something we see. The husbands get raises and promotions and bonuses and win the sales contest. And one guy took his wife on the most romantic trip of their lives after he won the sales contest at work. So we see that the respect that he's getting at home really helps him be more capable in the world.
That is right. Absolutely. I agree with that. You said also that getting married was the best self-improvement project you've ever undertaken. And I agree with that, same with me, but can you expand on that?
I'm just so grateful that I gave myself a situation where I felt like I didn't have any escape, because I really did not know that I was the one causing all the damage in my marriage. I really thought it was entirely him. I was working super hard on the relationship and he was just watching TV from my standpoint. And of course, it turns out I was completely wrong about everything. And because I was too embarrassed to get divorced, I had to keep looking. I had to keep searching for something. And that desperation made me open when I remember one woman said to me that her secret was that she tried never to criticize her husband, no matter how much it seemed like he deserved it. And I remember I said to her, have you got anything else? It just didn't even make sense to me at the time. And my desperation is what made me willing to experiment with it. I made my own marriage a laboratory and just tried everything. And if it worked, I kept it. And if it didn't, I threw it out. But I just know that if I hadn't been in so much pain, I don't think I'd ever been willing to find the humility to really look at myself the way I have now in the mirror, in my husband's mirror, and see all the unfortunate nastiness that I was bringing to the relationship. It feels so much better to be dignified and to feel soft and to not hear that shrill voice coming out of me. I didn't even like to be around it myself.
Yeah.
So I'm incredibly grateful for the confidence and also, you know, the other big thing that was lurking underneath that control, my urge to control him, was actually a big distraction from my own life. And you know what emerged when I stopped controlling my own husband?
What?
I was called to write books, and I got a New York Times bestseller, and it was controversial, and some people hated it, and I got hate mail.
That's amazing.
And I got to go on national TV, and I'd never been, and that was terrifying. And then people asked me to speak in front of live audiences, and I'd never done that either, and that was terrifying too. And just recently, I got my own TV series on Amazon, and that was scary too. So really relinquishing control in my marriage was just like practice for doing it in the rest of my life, where my life emerged. My life was waiting for me when I stopped wasting my energy trying to control someone I couldn't control.
It's amazing that you're receiving hate mail for what? what were they saying?
Oh, well, my first book is called The Surrendered Wife.
Yeah.
And a lot of people took it the wrong way. Yeah. Thought that I was setting feminism back. I want women to have all the opportunity and their voice in the world to express themselves, to be fully self-expressed. And that's what I feel like knowing about your feminine gifts really does. I've been so much more productive and accomplished since I learned about them and I rely on them. And I just find that I can create things with a sense of ease where it used to feel really hard in the past. So like just you sharing this platform with me, right? This came to me through no energy of my own. And I'm always grateful for the opportunity to get my message across, because now I'm on a mission to end world divorce by making sure that every woman who wants to know about these skills can get her hands on them and learn them.
I think there's really a resurgence of women wanting to get back into their feminine side. What is femininity? It's something that we've lost. It's something that we're missing. It's something that we're trying to remember what it is and integrate it into our lives. It's been one of those hot topics I've been covering a lot of, and it affects women of all ages. They could be late teens, early 20s, into their 60s. I mean, we have a real wide variety of women that listen to this show, and that is a subject that is resonating with a lot of women right now. So I think it's interesting because, you know, aspects of feminism have made women become more masculine, right? So they have lost touch with that. And I think a lot of women are missing that. They're realizing they're not as fulfilled as they could be.
Yes. And it's really interesting that in order to completely embrace your femininity, it's actually also has been vital for me to embrace my husband's masculinity and just to celebrate that difference and really learn to respect, which doesn't mean that I always agree or that he's the authority over me, but just that I honor my husband's thinking and his accomplishments. And they might be completely different than mine. But in the old days, I used to spend a lot of time with my girlfriends male bashing, you know, just making jokes about men and how, whatever, immature or lazy or whatever, stupid they are. And that just never served me. I think in some ways, becoming more appreciative of his contributions, well, it's the contrast, right? Like the night sky is how you get to see the stars. You don't get to see them unless it's dark. So yeah. Really appreciating the contrast of the masculinity and the femininity together and just the beautiful combination that they are has been an important piece of it.
Now, tell us about your book, The Surrendered Single, because I think that this is another hot topic right now. Dating just seems like a mess when I hear from young kids out there, especially with social media and everything. So what is a young girl to do who wants to find the best mate?
Well, the intimacy skills are the skills, and femininity is the femininity, whether you're married or divorced or single. So it's all going to be the same stuff. This is really about, so the subtitle is about how to attract and marry the man who's right for you. So the feminine is not about pursuing. She's just using her magnetism. And really, she's in such a position of power. So for example, men will ask women out. You don't have to ever ask a man out. And I don't recommend it because it obscures your beautiful tail feathers that you have if you pursue. So you're really in such a position of strength where you're like the director who's auditioning the dancers and saying, you know, yeah, you, no, not you, or next, right? So it's a wonderful thing to step into your feminine gifts when you're single and dating and be able to use that. And then it's so delightful. My singles are always so surprised and happy to find out that when they're actually just receptive and not trying to offer to pay their half of the dinner bill, that and are more interested in them, that they think that they need to do that as part of pulling their own weight. And it actually is a signal that says, let's just be friends instead of letting him treat you and make that contribution. That's where receiving graciously will make you 10 times more attractive. You'll have your wide choice of the men that you want to date. And of course, one special hero will emerge from that crowd. And it's just a wonderful thing. So it really takes a lot of the risk of heartbreak out of dating if you are using the intimacy skills when you do it.
It's funny you bring up the tail feather. I watch a lot of nature shows. And generally, it's the male bird who has to shake the feather and have all the bling. The woman, the female bird is just kind of boring, kind of a brown, you know. He's colorful and interesting. And she gets to have her pick, doesn't she? I mean, she doesn't even have to do much at all. But I guess when you're married, then you kind of have to keep that going. Then the woman has to keep it up to keep him interested, right?
I mean, for me, it's about the you know, if you want to look like a supermodel to your husband. In fact, actually, great story. My husband, I was brushing crumbs off the counter, and I don't think I was especially dressed up this day. So I was just, you know, brushing the crumbs off, and he goes, "Oh, don't move." And he got out his phone to take pictures of me like I'm the supermodel that he's been married to for 28 years. So I'm unspeakably grateful to be loved that way every day, but I don't think it's really so much about my hair and makeup and clothes as it is about him looking in my eyes and seeing that I respect him and admire him and appreciate him, and that I'm willing to receive graciously from him and be vulnerable with him, that has him see me as the supermodel that I may not necessarily be, but I am to him. So for me, it's, I love getting my hair done and, you know, having a mani-pedi and getting a new lipstick, just as my, or strappy sandals, as much as the next person, next woman. But I know that is really just a superficial piece of the attraction that my husband feels for me.
That's true. That's a good point. Well, tell us about your website, your workshops, everything that you have going on. Let people know how they can find your books.
Yes. Thank you, Lana. Well, we have a really fun Get Cherished challenge going on right now. So that's at getcherished.com, kind of like Got Milk, but it's Get Cherished. And if you go there, you can also read a free chapter of The Empowered Wife. You can sign up to get there's five little experiments that I send you that you can just try on in your marriage and see if your husband's head explodes in a good way and just see if they work for you. So those are kind of fun. Yeah, there it is. That's the Get Cherished site. And then you also, when you buy the book, you also right now get a free membership into my Scales for Love exclusive portal. So we have a bunch of goodies in there for you around the six intimacy skills. And then the other exciting thing we have right now is this Amazon show, which is free for Prime members of Amazon. And you can also get a free 1 month trial of Prime, and then the show would be free as well. You can search for that under Amazon Videos. It's called The Empowered Wives. So go watch it.
Yes. Thank you, Laura. I really appreciate it. I've heard good things about you. Actually, a few listeners recommended you, and so I'm glad they did. Thank you guys for recommending Laura, and thank you so much for being my guest today. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Lana. It's been my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
The end goal here is peace, fulfillment, and prosperity in your marriage. That's what we want. Marriage shouldn't be a battlefield. And I think the things we discussed here today make a lot of sense. Nature created us with specific attributes. Let's not fight it, but learn to go with it. Have something to add or dispute? Post your comments below. Thanks for watching.